Talk Live. Give us a call at 855-450-FREE. 855-450-3733. That's the SACL toll-free line. SACL CAI toll-free line. We've been talking about spanking and discipline and how to properly raise kids. And it's been, you know, it's been pretty interesting here. Let's go to...
Stephanie, by the way, how do you feel about spanking between consenting adults?
Oh, God.
I think it's fine as long as the people are self-aware and are not really, like, seriously hurting themselves.
Why do we have to deteriorate to that every time?
You know, I was thinking that same exact thing. Mark said, we're talking about spanking and discipline. I almost said, well, not in a BDSM sense.
Oh, God.
It's a whole other issue.
Maybe Jim from Nebraska can save us. Jim?
I don't know if I can save you, but I'll just give you my 2 cents anyway. I have two children, one's 20 and the other one's 18.
But you don't spank them anymore, do you?
No, not anymore. And I guess I might shock Stephanie here, but I have my own theory. You know, every child's different. Some children, depending on their age, may respond to reason better than others. So you can't take a one-step approach or a theory may not work on all children. Everyone's a little bit different. But I think there are very, very rare circumstances where a swat on the butt is probably in order. And I almost, in my opinion, would be a disservice not to do it. And I know that may sound shocking, but probably in my kids' life, they may have got a swat on the butt twice each. But they were very rare circumstances, for instance, running out in the street without looking or being in the street that's with a lot of heavy traffic where you don't have time to reason with a kid and their life's in danger. And
of course you don't have time to reason with them, but what about removing them from the dangerous situation, grabbing them out of the street? I don't think
there's no doubt, but grabbing them out of the street at that time would be a wise thing to do. But when you want to grab their attention and grab it right then and there and send a message that behavior is totally unacceptable, whether you agree or disagree, and I know every child will be different, it certainly gets their attention. Fear is an excellent motivator as long as it's used sparingly. If you spank a child for everything they do wrong, it totally will lose its effectiveness. But if you're very, very sparing with how you handle that and you use it only in extreme situations, it's one of probably the best motivator you have in your toolbox.
I completely disagree. If you don't want a child to run out into the middle of the road, it's probably because you love that child and care about them, right? So why not explain to the child, I care about you. I care about your safety, and I don't want you to be hit by a car. And that's, look
well,
at these cars going
abstract,
by.
Well, the car's though, Stephanie, and as is the
so
dog.
So show them the cars passing by could hit you.
Okay, so, and I can show Jack the dog's teeth, too, and they've never sank into him. And I think that this is what is not being portrayed. I think that a lot of people are concerned that kids don't get the abstract, which is that car could run you over. And Jack's never been run over by a car. He has no fear of being run over by cars.
Well, probably because you keep him in your sights and
generally
don't let him run out into the middle of the road, right?
Hasn't happened yet, but, I mean, you know, I can tell you, they're slick, man. I mean, you know, you put the kid on the ground so that you can get something out of the car.
So a kid's
they're
life
out in the parking lot someplace.
A kid's life is in danger. They almost get hit by a car and
no, they don't even have to necessarily get hit by the car.
They just have to disobey you, right? Stepping off the street
is a high level, a very important sort of disobedience. Yes, I agree.
So if they go into the street, there's no cars in sight, you pick them up and then you spank them. You think that's justified to teach them not to disobey you and go out into the street?
I think that I can see the justifications that people would have for that situation.
Isn't that just teaching them to unquestioningly follow orders without thinking about it? Have fear of disobeying your parents?
I think that it is a means to get them to the point where they can think about whether or not following orders is a good idea. Today they may not be able to do that.
And at what point are they able to think?
I know it's not three. Jim?
Well, I guess what I would say is any parent that loves, you would have to agree that most parents love their children, and they wouldn't spank.
That's why I don't understand why most parents hit 70 to 90%.
Well, I can't tell you why most parents hit. I can only tell you my experience and my perception from the way I raised our children. But what I can tell you is if I thought for 1 minute that having a conversation with them would have stopped them from going in the street and we wouldn't have that issue, then certainly that'd be the route that I would take as a loving parent. But when I fear for my kids' life because they don't understand the danger in the street, I can tell you from personal experience that one little swat on the butt will take care of that in a heartbeat, especially
well,
when you don't
like
do
you,
it.
It sounds like you were feeling really scared at that time, and I think it's important to notice that. And it's also, you know, important not to transfer maybe that anger at the kids scaring you, giving you a near heart attack onto your kids.
There was definitely no anger involved. It was a reasoned decision that was made, in the moment. But
so why is it that it's okay to hit some kids and not other kids? I'm just curious why you're not applying that standard consistently to all children or all children under a certain age.
I'm not applying anything. What I'm saying is every child's different. If there's a child that's developed enough and has an understanding and can be reasoned with, that's the approach obviously you're going to take. But if you have a kid, that discussion will get you nowhere, and they won't comprehend what it is that you're trying to change and why they need to change that behavior. They don't understand the danger. I think there are, and I'll admit, there are very rare circumstances, but if a parent uses it wisely, it's something that could, I think, actually save a kid's life or save them from injury or harm.
Stephanie, would you agree that Jim did use spanking judiciously and sparingly?
No, I don't think it was appropriate
to kids. I'm not asking if it's appropriate. I'm asking you if it was done sparingly and judiciously.
I guess relative to many other parents who beat their kids on a daily or weekly basis, but it still doesn't make it okay.
We'll take that as a victory, Jim.
No, we won't. You know, I wanted to ask Jim a question. Maybe someone else can answer this. How about a newborn baby? Is it okay to hit a newborn baby if they're doing something that endangers their health or that you don't like crying maybe?
This is a certain, been employed in the past.
They can't reason, right?
And
isn't that the justification?
Well, I think the justification has been all along that it's effective. And I think the beating, slapping or smacking a newborn baby to make it quit crying is ineffective. Let's take, I believe this is Dale in New Hampshire. Dale?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Dale. Are you going to take my side on
sometime Monday co-host?
I am taking Stephanie's side, and I wanted to go
into another person
that.
Without
I
a kid.
Before. I heard this before. I know my opinion doesn't count.
Neither of ours counts.
I've been a kid.
Yes.
I have been a kid. I remember being
Me
one.
Too.
I remember my feelings at times when adults are treating me in ways where I don't understand why, or they're treating me the way they are and things like that. And I've heard a case of a guy whose daughter stuck a fork in a socket. And he was saying that, you know, he spanked her because she needed to learn not to do that, and he couldn't explain to her about electricity and all that stuff. And my thought is when you have a child that's too young to understand a life-threatening situation, you keep them out of that life-threatening situation until they can understand it.
As best you can.
I mean, if you have a child that can run out into, what do you mean as best as you can? I mean, a child that's small enough to run out into the street should be watched like a hawk constantly if they're anywhere near a street and there's no fence.
Right.
And if you've got a house with outlets and you have kids sticking forks in them, that's why you stick those protective covers in the outlets.
That's a great idea. You should have those things.
Home.
Absolutely. But there are instances, and this is one of the areas where not having kids really comes into play, is not knowing what it's like, even with two parents. Even with two parents standing by, it can be nigh impossible. For one, you need to plug things in sometimes. Sometimes when you plug things in, you don't put the little plastic thing back in the hole. When you take a kid out of the
But that's not the kid's fault. You understand that, right?
I'm not saying it's the kid's fault. They do, however.
When you use discipline to teach them not to do stuff like that, they only learn not to do it when you're watching.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'll take that over nothing. Hold the line, Dale. Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be, and find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Again, that's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The Ruger LC9. Compact, powerful, and perfect for personal protection. The LC9 is only slightly larger than the popular Ruger LCP. Features a checkered grip frame to provide a secure and comfortable grip, and includes a finger grip extension floor plate. The LC9 also has a dovetailed, high-visibility three-dot sight system, blued alloy steel barrel, manual safety, and loaded chamber indicator. The LC9, another innovative American-made product from Ruger. Learn more about the Ruger LC9 at Ruger.com/LC9.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning, and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. Go to shop.freetalklive.com. There we have links to both Newegg and Amazon and where you can do shopping online, the shopping online that you would normally do. Go do it through shop.freetalklive.com, because not only do you get the things that you want, but you help Free Talk Live in the process. We get a little percentage. Your price isn't raised. shop.freetalklive.com. So go to learnliberty.org/FTL and check out Ben Powell's public choice, why politicians don't cut spending. It's a 2 minute and 20 second video that shows simply and easily, not just for you, but for your friends and family, why using public choice economics or the economics of politics. Ben Powell, he shows how voters rationally ignore what politicians do. You can get watch this video. Once you have watched it, if you think it's as compelling as I think it is, share it on your Facebook so other people can see it. It's learnliberty.org/FTL. Actually, Ben Powell's a personal friend, and it's a great video. Learnliberty.org/FTL. We were talking to Dale in New Hampshire about disciplining children. Dale, go ahead.
Hi, Mark. Well, the other thing what got me inspired to call in, actually, was hearing you talk about Jack's case. And I'd heard about this before.
What's this?
Jack's case.
Jack's my
case.
Child Jack, okay.
Yeah, about either poking the dog or hitting the dog. You say when I hear you talk about he's not looking you in the eye when you're trying to look him in the eye and everything, it feels to me like, you know, that you're the confrontation. Maybe that you said you think he knows that he's doing something wrong. And so I think you got to get around that confrontation. You're doing something wrong to get to why he's doing it. And, like, what desire is he fulfilling or what need is he fulfilling by doing that? And sometimes, like, you know, kids acting out or you know, it's the same with animals and stuff, acting out. They're doing it to get attention sometimes. I don't want to jump to conclusions, but and it seems like the trick is to, you know, not give him what he wants right that moment when he's doing that, but find out what is it he wants from that? What's he trying to get from that? And to get him to communicate, you've got to get around the confrontational nature of it, you know.
To get him to communicate, he's going to have to be a little older too, Dale. I mean, frankly,
I don't agree with that. I mean, he's going to communicate like a kid, and it's going to be challenging. But you know,
Well, even little babies,
looking you in the eye, you know.
Even little babies, I think, can communicate things like hunger, you know, tiredness, right? Oftentimes,
probably not poking the dog because he's hungry.
No, probably not. But I'm saying kids may have nonverbal ways to communicate, or you know.
Let's go on. Dale, I appreciate the call. We've got a whole bunch of calls lined up. Lots of people want to talk about this issue. Let's go to Nick in Illinois. Nick?
Hi. Fair warning, I have never been a kid. I was born fully formed into the world as I am now.
Finally, somebody who has no justification whatsoever to talk about this issue. Excellent.
But I am a live-in uncle living in a 9-person household with my brother's family, which includes their 2 children. One is 3, the other is 8 months.
Okay, excellent, okay.
Being their live-in uncle, I have the occasional parent-like duties while their father is away, and I also observe on a day-to-day basis how my sister-in-law raises them. I've listened to a substantial portion of Wes Bertrand's podcast on raising children with nonviolent communication techniques, and I can tell you it works. I would say she is basically raising them according to those principles. Not perfectly, but pretty much. And what I notice is that in practice, those techniques can actually look and sound a lot like conventional, i.e. bad parenting techniques. The differences can be subtle to an outside observer, sort of like the difference between welfare and charity. And just like with welfare versus charity, I'd say the difference is the emotional connection involved and the voluntary nature of the transactions.
Mm-hmm.
For example, she sometimes uses a kind of voluntary timeout. When the 3-year-old is being unreasonable or crying to try to get what he wants, she tells him in a very adult, matter-of-fact manner that she does not negotiate with terrorists and isn't going to negotiate with him about what he wants until he can calm down and approach her in a way that is welcomed by both of them. She then suggests, not commands, but suggests that he go to his room and come back once he's calmed down. And it works. He does that, and then things proceed, and he'll be all smiles again.
Wow, so and that's a 3-year-old, right, Nick?
Yeah. So it looks the same in many ways as the conventional go to your room, except it's voluntary, peaceful, and I'd also say it's teaching him how to better manage his emotions and get along with people.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I really appreciate
it. It is fascinating. I've really got nothing else to say about it, but it's fascinating.
Yeah. I want to see that.
And he's also got a little baby brother, so that's sort of analogous to your dog situation, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he treats him nicely because his mother helped him understand the baby's feelings. I've even witnessed him almost do something like poke the baby or be rough with him or take something away from him, like out of curiosity or who knows why. But then one of us will explain what he's doing, and once he understands the baby's feelings, he starts treating him nicely again. We always try to engage his empathy, and I'd say it genuinely works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they may be little humans, but they're still human beings, and they still do have empathy and can feel what others are feeling.
The caveat I would say, though, is I don't know how much of this is a matter of individual personality, because my nephew just
certainly
generally doesn't
have
behavior problems. And I don't know if that's because he was basically raised NVC or because of an inborn difference.
Nonviolent communication?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
very sensitive to what other people think of him.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, these are some of the things that are brought up, that some kids need this, some kids need that. Is it that the kid was born that way? Is it the way that the parents are raising them, nature, nurture? These are all questions that, well, aren't going to be answered.
Well, one thing I think we can say for sure is that no kid needs violence.
I don't know that I'm prepared to say that. I have yet to say that. I don't raise my son with spanking. Nick, thank you for the call. I don't raise my son with spanking, and I have endeavored not to do that. So I mean, I have an emotional commitment to not spanking. Mm-hmm. I want to see how that goes. I understand that I don't have that I don't have two kids. I don't claim to have all the answers. I claim to have sort of a belief set that I'm attempting to work with in the real world, where, you know, we have a pretty optimum scenario in our house. We have one child, and we have two parents that are mostly at home most of the time in the rearing of that child. So, you know, I, just saying, it's got to be really difficult for those parents that, well, send their kids to daycare, and they've got two boys or whatever. These things have got to be very difficult. Let's go to Johnson in Connecticut. Johnson?
Hey. So I wanted to side with Mark on this. So, you know, on this, you know.
Pro-violence?
I have
no,
a side?
Mark isn't pro-violence, and he's committed to not raising Jack with spanking, but I think maybe, well, go ahead, Johnson.
Well, I think, you know, I guess the question would be, so if we were all living in a free society, right, a more free society, right, who, if you're raising your kid that way, and you're going to use, you're going to swat them on the butt, because you have a situation where a kid has, say, run out in the road, and you need them to.
Can we just call it hitting? Can we just call a spade a spade?
Sure. So you're hitting the kid when the kid runs out in the road because you want to get their attention and you want them to remember the lesson, right? So presuming we're living in a more free society. Now, I mean, really, is a swat in the butt really going to get that kid to remember not to run out of the road? I mean, they just risked their life. I mean, why not take it a little further? I mean, if I was
does a speeding ticket get people
child,
not to speed?
Well, like, why don't they just cut the child or tease it? I mean, really.
Hold the line, Johnson.
Obviously. He's making a comparison between the state and parents, and I think he's onto something.
It's interesting. We'll see. Free Talk Live.
Hey, Brian, if you could do just one thing today to ensure your family's food security, what would it be?
That's easy, Bill. I'd head straight to soupbeansurvival.com.
Soupbeansurvival.com?
I know, Bill, it sounds crazy, but this ancient secret has been around for over 8,000 years, and it truly is nature's super survival food.
Really, Brian, the number one survival food? Well, certainly the forgotten survival food.
Absolutely, Bill. The folks at soupbeansurvival.com scoured our planet to find the very best heirloom seeds, to truly find nature's super survival food.
Brian, these aren't grocery store beans, are they?
No way, Bill. You're not going to find these beans in any grocery store. These are the absolute highest quality beans in the world. Visit soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com for all the information you're going to need for nature's super survival food.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike-anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, the main name in military supply.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's free, as in freetalklive.com. That phone line is sponsored by SACL CAI, and it is toll-free to you. Ruger's new SR-40C is the compact version of the recoil-reducing striker-fired SR-40 pistol, one of the slimmest and most ergonomic full-size 40 caliber pistols on the market today. The SR-40C is based on the same high-performance glass-filled nylon frame as those used on so many great Ruger pistols, offering the same features including a slim frame, short trigger reach, reversible backstrap, ambidextrous controls. The SR-40C features a throw-hardened stainless steel slide or alloy steel slide with Nitrodox Pro black finish. You can see it at Ruger.com. Purchase it at your local gun dealer. It's Ruger.com, the SR-40C.
You know, the SR-9C is very nice. I've shot that one before. I guess the 40C is supposed to be on the same frame as the SR-9C.
Yeah.
C for compact.
Right.
Very well balanced and very, very good to shoot.
Ruger has a lot of excellent handguns, and you can go see them all at Ruger.com. Let's go to Johnson in Connecticut. Back to Johnson in Connecticut, I should say. Johnson, you were giving some witty analogy. Please run it by everybody again.
Why not use a Ruger on your child? I mean, if you're going to discipline your child, do it right. You know, just find some place non-vital and give them a lesson they'll remember.
So this is the analogy to spanking. Were you spanked as a child, Johnson?
No, I was not.
Now, I'm just wondering, if not spanking a child is supposed to give them empathy, how did you turn into such a grumpy troll?
I got smacked once. That's all it took.
That's all it took.
I was spanked as an adult.
Thank you. Thank you for your elucidation, Johnson.
No.
Let's go to Tony in Huntsville, Alabama. Tony?
Hey, tell Wyatt Earp there that, you know, maybe pistol whipping's not going to work. I don't know.
I think he was kidding.
He was kidding.
Oh, he was just kidding.
He was taking it to an extreme.
Just a couple points. First of all, I'm kind of thinking that, you know, an adolescent, someone 5, 6, 7 years old,
That's not an adolescent, right?
Or a child, whatever.
Okay, just want to make sure that we're clear.
Right. If you're trying to talk to them about, don't run out in front of cars, you could be killed, whatever, I'm wondering if a 5 or 6 year old can understand the concept of life and death and the meaning of it and how important it is or the value of it. I'm just throwing that question out there. And then
I'm reasonably certain they can't. I have a picture on my computer as wallpaper. It is a picture of my son who is strangely screwing with an animal. He is messing with my old cat Senior, and he likes to see what Daddy's looking at on the computer sometimes. So he'll crawl up and laugh, and he says, and I'll point at, "Who's that?" And he'll say, "Jack." And I say, "Who's that?" He'll say, "Senior." And I say, "That's right, it's Senior." And I've told him a couple of times, "Senior's dead." And he says, "Yeah, Senior's dead." And, there's no empathy whatever in his voice.
Who killed him, Mark?
He's just repeating, "Senior, I'm afraid, died of bone cancer." And that's the name of the cat was Senior Grouchy Pants. So
but does he ask,
Senior.
Does he ask, like, where?
No.
Where's Senior?
No.
So maybe he understands that he's gone.
I think he does understand that he's gone. Sometimes he'll call the cat Moosh, which, of course, is the new cat's name, Mooshu Pork. He's half Siamese, and we're celebrating his ethnic heritage.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think he is completely nonplussed by Senior, the idea that Senior is dead, and I don't think that he knows at all, personally.
Hey, let me ask Stephanie a question.
Sure.
Let's just say that you have a 4-year-old little girl, and you're standing, and she runs away from you, and she's seconds away from getting ran over by a car. And I, as a concerned citizen, I tackle her, and it's the only way to get her out of the way of that car. And I roughly tackle her, break her arm, but I save her life. Now, that's a very violent act that I did to that little girl. Is that okay?
Well, I think you're kind of giving me a false dichotomy because, maybe as a mother I would try my best to keep my child from running out into the street to begin with.
Well, yeah, of course you would try your best, but sometimes kids can jerk away from their parents.
Sure.
You could drop the little, you could be holding her and, she could slip out of your arms.
Indeed. Well, so are you,
accidentally or whatever. I'm just saying if the situation presented itself, and it does in real life present itself, okay, that's the dichotomy, okay?
Sure, so I have another counter to your question, I guess.
Sure.
If you did tackle my daughter and that was the only way that you could save her and maybe she had some injuries but at least she's alive, then I would be grateful that you saved her life, and I'd probably be trying too if I knew she was in front of the car. I'd probably dive for her too. But are you going to hit my daughter afterwards, too? Or are you just going to return her to me? Or what's your feeling on that?
Well, of course not. I'm not going to hit someone's daughter or whatever. I'm just saying.
Okay.
You said that, that violence towards children in any way is not, is not a good thing, and you're totally against it. But I just, presented you with a situation where sometimes, and I would say a spanking on the bottom is in the overall scheme of things is way less. And I'd also think.
So why wouldn't you hit my daughter if you were in that situation?
Say what now?
Why would you not hit my daughter? If you were faced with that situation and you saved her life, I mean, this is a kind of an unlikely scenario to begin with, but if you're in that situation and you tackle her from and save her from being hit by a car, why would I think that's
personally,
completely different. That's different than hitting her after you save her life. Do you understand why that's different?
Well, yeah, it's different, but I mean, personally, why I wouldn't hit. Okay, for instance, I have 3 foster children. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm not their biological father, and so I've never spanked them. I've never felt. I think there's a difference when you're a biological parent. I think there is a different degree of attachment of not a different degree of love, maybe, I don't know, but
well, that's really nice. Let me just say that's really nice that you took those children into your home,
yeah.
And I'm sure they appreciate you not only giving them a home, but not hitting them, too. And that's really nice.
Tony, yeah, thank you for doing that. Let me. We're going to go on. We've got so many people piled up that want to talk about this. I just want to get to them. David in Keene, New Hampshire. David.
Hello. I was just going to say, how many of y'all, if I can ask this, have been spanked as a kid?
So are we asking people in the room here?
Yeah. In this.
I have probably not too many times. I wouldn't say my parents overused the spanking tools, but I've certainly spanked probably more than a half a dozen times as a child. Wayne?
About the same for me.
Stephanie? I was not hit as a child.
Okay.
I was one of six, and I did get spanked occasionally, not very often at all. But
one of six. I'm surprised they didn't use a bullwhip to round you guys up.
Yeah,
or a fishing net.
Well, part of it is this, I don't know, it's like, I mean, I'm not saying spanking is good, just like I wouldn't, I don't know. What if the cat or the dog swatted at the kid for poking him, you know?
Oh, I can assure you, this is actually, on the computer, it is a picture of the cat getting ready to smack the kid. He doesn't have claws, and so it was mildly amusing when it would happen, because the child wouldn't even know what occurred, precisely, being about 18 months old. The cat's been dead some time. But, yeah, the cat hit the kid on a regular basis.
The only reason I said that is because the kid would learn the lesson really quick. I'm not saying that should happen, but that kid would learn the direct lesson.
The
right
world
away.
Will provide violent and painful lessons if, you know...
Consequences.
In lieu of parents doing it, certainly the world will do it. David, thanks for the call. Free Talk Live, 855-450.
Then why do parents need to do it?
I don't know that we're even going to get your call in. Forget I gave that number. Free Talk Live.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
We don't need to convince you that the threat of forced entry is on the rise and that your door locks are inadequate. Now you can virtually eliminate the threat of your door being kicked in with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel offers standalone door kick-in protection for under $67 and installs in minutes on any door. Turn your home or apartment into a fortress. Get the Door Sentinel at SentinelSecurityGroup.com or call 678-648-6757. The Door Sentinel, always on guard for you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-3. I was going to say free, there's a 3733, but actually, there's really no room on the phone lines. I don't know why I'm giving the number. Free Talk Live, it's Mark.
Wayne.
And Stephanie.
And
something's pinging.
Something is pinging somewhere. I wouldn't know how to turn this thing off if I had to. So, you know, whoever that is, whatever that noise is.
Stop doing it.
Stop it. I don't know how to work all these buttons here.
Mangled things.
Let's go to Mandrick in New Hampshire. Mandrick.
Hey guys, real quick, I just wanted to share this. Let's say people keep saying that like spanking a kid for running on the street is, you know, because you love this kid, you don't want to harm fall to this child. Okay, so let's say I have a girlfriend and we're in a voluntary relationship. You know, we both agreed to get into. And let's say she's diabetic and she's insisting upon eating some chocolate cake. Now, by that
sounds
same
bad.
Reason, yeah, so she's doing something that could potentially harm her, and should I use force against her? Should I hit her? You know, because I love her and I don't want her to be harmed. Okay, but obviously I think everyone can agree that the answer is no, you shouldn't hit her. But let's say I do hit her, okay? Now she can go to the police or whatever, and she can file charges against me, and I will probably go to jail, you know, if I'm convicted or whatever. Some harm is going to fall to me. Now, in the same situation, if it's a child, your child, and I don't know, maybe running down the street, or maybe your kid's diabetic and, you know, you hit them for not eating that cake. What recourse does that child have? What would happen if that child went to the police?
They can't leave. And so there's a higher standard on your behavior.
They also have the cognitive abilities that are different than your girlfriend, who's an adult, who understands what cars do to people when they run them over. I don't think kids necessarily do. And I think that it can be difficult to explain that to children if they're young enough that what those consequences are. And I feel like that has not been heard by those that seem to be advocating against spanking. I feel that the people that are saying, look, kids don't necessarily know what the consequences of their actions are, is something that's not being heard.
Real quick, Mark, let's say my child is 15 years old and is diabetic and he wants to eat this cake and I hit the child.
Why would you hit your child for eating, a 15-year-old for eating cake?
Because they're diabetic and it could hurt them.
Because they're diabetic and they're going to kill themselves. It's just like running out in the street.
I would advise them against it. With a 15-year-old, you're dealing with basically an adult, right?
Yeah, I've got a 15-year-old.
I mean, this only proves my point, George, is that you're not hearing that what I'm saying is that certain kids of certain ages, and you've got kids, I know you do, don't know what the consequences of their actions are. A 15-year-old eating cake knows that it could be, you know, harm them from a health standpoint. A 3-year-old doesn't necessarily know that cars will turn them into squishy red stuff.
Mark, all hitting taught me from my parents and from my grandparents and from my aunts and uncles, all it taught me to do was fear them. And you know what? I really don't have love for that family anymore. It's just not there anymore. All it was fear. And I grew up with that fear. And I went along to get along because I didn't, you know, I was just trying to survive. I didn't want to have to deal with their wrath. I mean, that's not...
That's an entirely relevant and important thing to be said. Analogies about cake, I don't think they hold any water. George, thanks for the call. Let's go to Michael in Pennsylvania.
This is Michael in Pennsylvania, and I just wanted to point out that I was both raised in a spanking household, and that I was also beat by a stepfather once my parents had separated.
Okay.
Oh, Michael, I'm sorry.
Mm. And, well, you know, it happens. It happens in many households all over America, but not that. That's
it sure
right.
does.
I'm just drawing a dichotomy. There's a line between being raised in a spanking household as an instruction and having your nose bloodied and your desk kicked in. You know, there's a big difference between the two. And I think a lot of people who are on the anti-spanking side want to equate those who spank as the same monsters that, you know, beat their children. And
no,
sorry,
it's,
but
I don't think that's
different.
True, Michael. I mean, it's not to minimize parents who severely abuse and break kids' bones and stuff like that. And I think that it's pretty much universally agreed that that is child abuse. But I think it still doesn't make it right to spank a kid. I mean, and if you're talking about a continuum from a few spanks once in a while to beating the kid to a bloody pulp regularly, then yeah, obviously there's a continuum there, but it still doesn't make the lower end of the continuum good or right.
I kind of see your point there, but it seems to me that those in that community that want to say that spanking is wrong want to throw it kind of into like the realm of, well, it's all abuse, and they deserve to have their children taken away. And it's like, well, I'm now a 28-year-old man, and I have two children, and almost never spank, but a couple times, I'll admit I have. I don't abuse my children. I love them to death. I would not want anything really horrible to happen to them. And I think sometimes that maybe a swat on the butt is warranted, but I think that differs between parent to parent to parent.
Yeah, Michael, I mean, I disagree with you that a swat on the butt is warranted, and I'm really sorry about what happened to you as a child. I really am. I don't want to take your kids away. I don't think that would be good for your kids at all. And I think it's important, you know, for people who do have feelings about this one way or the other to just get their opinions out there, and people will gravitate to the message that they think is right, and that's why I'm doing the show.
Hey,
I'm not
going
to use the state on
you. Yeah, I love
the
show. Don't get me wrong. I really love Free Talk Live. It's opened my eyes to the ideas of liberty. And that government shouldn't put their hands on human beings or harm them in any way. So I really appreciate all of your guys' work. Don't get me wrong. I'm tending to disagree with you on just this one point. I just wanted to throw out that one idea out there. And
thanks for calling in, Michael. I appreciate it.
Stephanie, I have a question for you. How do you feel about this trend now by both parents and even schools to drug these kids up when they don't behave?
Oh, awful. Awful. I mean, so it's so often the poorest kids from the lowest socioeconomic status, but it reaches across all strata, I mean, in society. Just these kids are bored in school, understandably. They may be acting out. They may need attention. They may not be getting what they need at home. And the solution often by the government schools and sometimes even private schools is to give them drugs that take away their personality and their individuality and their will to do anything. And it's tragic. It's just the way, it's part of the way that kids are treated in general in society. It's a lot of people don't respect their preferences or listen to their needs.
No child left undrugged.
And I'd like to point out that on Free Talk Live, certainly, I doubt very seriously Stephanie's talking about people being, you know, kids taken away. There was a case in Texas where the judge decided that, that they was going to arrest a woman for spanking her kids and remove the kids from her house and all that stuff. And you don't agree with that. Is that correct?
I don't think it would be good for the kids to have the state take them away.
Let's go to Captain Ned in Florida. Captain Ned.
Free and Freeman.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Day 8.
And it was really good to hear him last night, and it was good for all the troops to hear him. I know he's going along with the program, but I just hope he doesn't agree to any pharmacological volunteer testing.
Because, you know, I think I think in order to get into put into open population, and this is my ignorance speaking, I'm not 100% sure of this, that you have to take the TB vaccination thing that they have. I
know it's true in Manchester, New Hampshire, which is one of the places in our where near where we are, but I'm not sure in Keene. I thought there was no TB test in Keene.
Well, if Ian volunteers for that pharmacological testing, they'll have him talking like a raccoon, you know, and admitting all kinds of stuff before he knows it.
Yikes.
Hey, and speaking of talking like a raccoon, Stephanie, bless your and Hannah's hearts. I mean, have you ever watched a mother raccoon train her cubs?
No.
No.
Okay, Mother Nature is a harsh teacher. There's not much time. They'll knock them head over heels. The rest of the other four in the litter will watch. And whatever that one did, they're not going to do. Because if you crawl down a manhole sewer, you're not coming out. So the mother teaches the cubs. There's no reasoning like with a three-year-old. I think you'll agree. I mean, I've trained dogs for years. Training a dog and a child, same exact thing.
Well,
child,
no, I think it's...
Child, no, no, wait, wait, wait. A three-year-old child going under the sink is the same as a puppy.
So lock up your sink. Raccoons are animals. We are human beings, and we have the capability to reason.
That's in theory, but bless your hearts. You ever watch the mother bear knock a cub head over heels 10 feet?
We're not bears. We're human beings, Ned. We are human beings, and children are human beings, too, and they should be treated as such.
Cruelty to animals is the earmark of a serial killer later in life.
It's certainly
not cruelty to children.
It's certainly not a person with that much empathy.
I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Captain Dad, thanks for the call. Apparently, they're dropping themselves now.
I have a question that I had written down that I wanted to ask both of you gentlemen before.
Sure.
If a kid stuck his finger in an electrical socket, and let's just say that you had one in your home and it was unprotected, and the kid sticks his finger in and gets a shock, would either of you spank him, or can anyone take the possession for spanking him after that?
No. I would say that the world has delivered its punishment to the child at that point, and spanking it doesn't make any sense in that scenario. What I've heard from parents here tonight is that they would spank in order to teach kids the abstract concept of being harmed by something that they may not understand, like cars coming along the road or electricity in a socket or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with you, Mark.
Of course you would.
As a smoker, you know traditional cigarettes are unhealthy, and the taxes feed the very beast stealing your freedom to smoke. That's why the Vapor Station offers an assortment of electronic cigarette kits. Each rechargeable, refillable kit is an effective, affordable alternative to smoking. No combustion, no tar, no foul lingering odors, and no smoke, secondhand or otherwise. Just inhale pure enjoyment and exhale vapor. Take a puff just about anywhere without getting hassled. Get your e-cigarette kit now at VaporStation.com.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Lil Drums. Every bit as fun as a full-size Nestle drumstick cone, and definitely cuter. Visit us at drumstick.com. Vacations are all about family time, but you don't have to leave home to have fun. Take one weekend a month and devote it to family activities. Pull out the board games and puzzles, serve up some treats, or have a picnic. Even without leaving home, you'll feel like you've really had some time away. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.